Again, we'll read from John 15, verses 8 and 9, and verses 16 and 17, and this is what it says. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like for us to focus this morning on the subject for our text, why we exist. Why we exist. People spend a great deal of energy in life searching for their purpose. We go to school, search out our calling, we hunt for our careers, we take up hobbies and vocations and avocations to find meaning in life and to give our lives some meaning. We've created such sayings of wisdom, such as if you do what you love, you'll never work another day in your life. And perhaps that statement is supposed to provide a foundation for the search to our reason for being, to find something meaningful to do. When we find something we love to do, work becomes fun, and fun isn't really work. It's fun. But what if our purpose in life is not to find something that we love to do, but to do something for the sake of the one that we love and the one who loves us? And we love not because we get some inherent benefit from it, but we love to be obedient to God, knowing that God and God's love will shine brighter than our labor of love. Maybe we exist for the sole purpose of reproducing God's love for humanity in every darkened space and corner of our world. Why we exist seems like such a deep philosophical question. At the same time, it seems like an easy answer question. And maybe it's both, but it points us directly toward the mission of Christ Church and our church. The mission of the church began with God and won't change until God gives us new marching orders. And yet for Jesus, the result of our existence is as important as our reason for being. For Jesus, it's critical and crucial that God's presence and the power of God's love be put on display by acts of love we do as we practice this ministry of reconciliation. That's why it's important for us to become living examples of Christ's love active in service to our community. It's not just so that we can build a church. It's not even so that we can fill the pews. It's important to Jesus that the world see that God's love is more than a theory. It's important for the world to see that God's love is and can be a practical reality of transformation. It's important for the world to see that God's love is the answer for poverty and loneliness and despair and rejection and an opportunity for real community. It's why the prophet Isaiah reminds us, "For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples, thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcast of Israel. I will gather others to them besides those already gathered." And the way Jesus reminds us of its importance is by encouraging us to love one another. That's where real connection happens. In the context of showing God's love to one another, of openly accepting one another, Jesus is concerned about how the reproductive qualities of our relationship with God are actually put on display. The problem is that we've developed a culture, and I would suggest even a world, where real love, godly love, exists. But God's love is wheat growing amongst the weeds of both tolerance and intolerance. And those two frauds are masquerading as love, drawing others unknowingly into their snares. The apologist and author and speaker Josh McDowell once wrote that tolerance says you must approve of what I do. You must agree with me. You must allow me to have my way. And love responds, I will love you, even when your behavior offends me, even when we disagree. And together we can find God's way because you're worth the risk. Tolerance seeks to be inoffensive. Love takes risk. Tolerance glorifies division. Love seeks unity. Tolerance costs nothing. Love costs everything. That's why it's important for us to not only know why we exist, but to exist in a way that makes the light of God's love and acceptance a reality wherever we are. You see, brothers and sisters, we exist. We exist to make God and God's love visible in our world. That's our primary reason for being. It's why Jesus commands us to love one another. That's how people experience God's unconditional love. It's how, in fact, God is made visible in our world. If the church is supposed to be known by the fruit of our labor, then every act we do should be an action of love towards someone else. Every loving act of kindness should be offered because through our kindness, the God of kindness can be experienced. Every loving act of caring should be offered so that the love of our caring God can be experienced by others in need of care. Every loving act of hospitality should be offered to others so that people might connect to our God who shows hospitality to us. Isn't that why Jesus says, as you've done to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done to me? Could it be as simple as God's love being exposed to the world by the acts of love we show to others? Isn't that why we exist? To love one another as Christ has loved us, and to abide or to make our homes, our residence, our place of staying in that love? If we're honest, it is why we exist, but not the whole reason. You see, brothers and sisters, God didn't create us as robots of love just so that God can be glorified. God created us and knew that we needed to experience something in life that would remind us of who we are, and to experience something tangible that will allow others to see us as living examples of Christ's love. God's answer to this was simple. Allow and enable us to experience the joy of Christ in our lives. We exist to experience Christ's joy in our lives. A joy that comes from fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. And that too is why we exist. It's not just that we're supposed to mindlessly move about loving others and getting nothing in return. We exist to give joy to the world through our obedience while experiencing some joy that Christ had in living in faithful obedience to his God. You see, brothers and sisters, God's joy is supposed to be a part of our life. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a part of our life experience. It's found and experienced in any number of ways, but one of the best ways to experience God's joy is in giving to another person through our relationship with Christ. In some way, it's the same as experiencing new birth in our lives. In a movie titled The Kingdom, actor Jamie Foxx finds himself in school when he's suddenly asked to explain a picture that his son has brought for show and tell. Watch and listen as Jamie shares a joy in his life with a class full of children.
And this is the skateboard that my grandma Ruth gave to me. This is my fish Jaws, and he's a really mean fish. And this is the day that my daddy says is the happiest day of his life.
Can you tell us about that day, Mr. Flurry?
Yeah. You guys want to hear it? You want to hear something?
Yeah.
You want to hear about that day? Well, I'll tell you what, this is December 4th, and we were at the hospital all day and most of the night. We was waiting on this little man to come out, and then all of a sudden the doctor showed up and said, he's not coming out. We gotta go in and get him. Like a search team, right? So what she did was, can you tell the story?
Yeah, go ahead.
So what happened was is they took a tiny little knife and then cut right underneath the belly button, and they opened the room and then took her hands and stuck them all the way in her belly. Disappeared, and she was in there just rustling and rumbling and looking for something. Then she started pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling, and she was pulling, and all of a sudden she stopped. And she looked at me and said, Mr. Flurry, are you ready to have your world rocked? And I said, well, I guess so. And so she starts pulling and pulling, and all of a sudden the head popped out, and I looked down and I said, Kevin! And then he looked back at me and he said,
Daddy!
Daddy! Yeah! And that was, that was the happiest day of my life. Yeah.
One man tells a group of school kids about the joy his son brought him at his birth. Wouldn't it make sense that Christ's joy in us would be complete if we could spread the experience of our new birth throughout the world? Isn't that why Jesus reminds us that in telling his parable of the lost sheep, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Rejoice with God, because we've shared the story of our new birth. Christ's joy is that we were lost, but now we have been found and loved by God. His desire is that his joy will be complete as we continue to show ourselves to be living examples of Christ's love, so that others will be able to experience the same joy that we experience in our relationship with God and Christ. God's joy is supposed to be a part of our life. We exist to experience God's joy in our lives. And we also exist to love so that others will be drawn to the lifestyle of loving and caring, of acceptance instead of just tolerance. This isn't rocket science, folks. The rules are simple. Love others as Christ has loved us. Not rejection, not tolerance, not indifference, or even ignoring others and masquerading it as love, but loving others genuinely, realistically, openly, and honestly, loving one another until the world is alive with the love of God in and through Jesus Christ. Loving is why we exist. Connecting others to God's love by example is why we exist. Experiencing the joy of Christ in loving others is why we exist. Witnessing to others about the love we've experienced in Jesus Christ so that they too may experience God's mercy and forgiving love is why we exist. Seeing and experiencing other people finding God's love so that God can be glorified is why we exist. We were bought with a price. Therefore, we should glorify God in our bodies by fulfilling God's purpose in our lives, by living for the purpose for which we were created, to become living examples of Christ's love. Joyfully living. in relationship with Jesus Christ. By loving others with a love that is so radical that through Jesus Christ, God is recognized, dignified, magnified, and glorified in our life and in the lives of everyone in God's world. And that's why we exist. It's our sole reason for existing. And that is the word of God for the people of God.